This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First and goal now at the 4. Mayfield to throw, does throw, quick slant. Chris Godwin, touchdown Buccaneers as he beat Alante Taylor just on a little 4-yard slant, middle of the end zone, and that was a little too easy.
Yeah, and it was the beginning of a big old butt whooping for the Saints, except for that second quarter where the Saints suddenly came to life and then quickly went dormant again for the rest of the game. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman, joined now by Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Mondays are tough around here. When the Saints
try to be positive, right?
Well, you try to be realistic, but when the Saints take it on the chin that badly, it's people around here are not happy on a Monday. So
it's frustrating, and it is strange. Like, you look back at that game, and it's kind of like it feels like the second quarter was played in the same alternate dimension that we played the first 2 weeks of this season in. Like, nothing of that second quarter makes sense relative to the rest of the game, just like nothing from the first 2 weeks really makes sense relative to the last 4 weeks of this
season. Yeah, that second quarter. Wait, we're running back punt returns for touchdowns. We're getting pick sixes. The offense is firing on all cylinders. But then you go to halftime, they come back, and it's the same team from the first quarter now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's crazy. Look at that game. That, it's a 51-27 blowout on the final scoreline. You go back to 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Saints are leading 27-24. They have the Bucs in a second and five scenario. You force them to throw the ball short of the sticks. Willie Gay's in perfect position to make a tackle. He just overruns it. Suddenly, 55-yard touchdown. Got defenders bouncing off Chris Godwin the whole way to the end zone. And you're behind, and you lose. That's where you kind of lost the plot in that game, right? Like, the Saints are unable to make the tackles in front of them. That's really the story. It's not like you're getting blocked. It's not like, they're there. You're just not making tackles.
I wished I could grab Alante Taylor by the shoulder pads and say, wrap your arms around them. But, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, he's tough.
And you would have gotten in trouble if you did it, but,
Well, with Alante, it's tough because I know he was dealing with a shoulder issue. So I do wonder how much of that was limiting him, and maybe some of the tackling for him was driven by that. He did leave the game late in the first half. Came back, played through it, but would not be surprised if he's on the injury report this week and you're talking about, hey, is he going to be available for Thursday?
And he wasn't alone. Nobody was seemingly wanting to make tackles. I mean, I think they wanted to.
I don't want to single him out there because I know he was playing through something, and who knows? I thought he actually was one of the players that played well in terms of making some impact plays. But
and he seemed to be in all the right places at the right times, but tackling was the real challenge there. So.
No, you can't win games that way. It's just you got to make the plays out in front of you. And, that game, it was a recipe for disaster the second you allowed them to go up 14-0. And it wasn't, it's tough. You look at a rookie quarterback in Spencer Rattler, and he didn't do anything wrong. He threw it to his star receiver. His star receiver got hit in the head, got concussed, dropped the ball. That's returned for a touchdown. And, that was a game that I felt like going into it, if you were able to get out to a lead, You knew you were going to go in there with a plan, and you felt like, hey, I think Spencer can execute this plan that we give him. Once the Bucks are able to kind of see that plan, adjust to that plan, I don't think that he's necessarily going to be able to adjust with them in the way you might need him to kind of win a duel in the second half. I think the only recipe you had to win that game was to get out in front, was to play on your terms and force the Bucks to kind of abandon their script a little bit. That's what happened when they lost to the Broncos at home a couple weeks ago. The Broncos came out, hit them in the mouth early, got a lead, and the Bucks kind of had to bail on a lot of the things they wanted to do, and they lost the game, I want to say, 26-7 at home. And that's what the Saints needed to do, but they just weren't able to do it. Instead, they were the team who had to rally. They did rally, but it sure felt like they kind of shot all the bullets in their gun in that first half, and they just had nothing left for that second half. And it's frustrating because, you know, you look at Spencer's day, and I don't think he played that badly. I really don't. I mean,
no, and a lot of people were really positive about him. I mean, he threw two interceptions, but especially early before the defense kind of figured him out, he was having a great day.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that the plan with him was limited, and that kind of hurt you. You know, and it's like, hey, that's the consequence of being in a short week. All of a sudden, you have to come up with a new plan, and you don't have enough time to do it. Meanwhile, the Bucks had 10 days to go to a plan for what they felt like Clint Kubiak was going to do in this new Saint offense. And then from Monday on, they were able to plan for a rookie and try to take away what they were going to do with a rookie. And so I think what you trusted him to do in that offense was a little limited, because how could it not be? It's not like you went into Monday Night Football thinking, hey, we got a plan for next week when we're going to have a rookie quarterback. Like, no, that hit you late.
And he definitely created plays. I mean, there were plays that should have been dead long before they were, but he was able to keep them alive, and some of them worked out really well. And there were a lot of balls that were dropped. So that made it difficult for the rookie when he is hitting some receivers really well, and either because of good defense or for whatever other reasons, some guys you never expect to drop balls were dropping balls yesterday that should have been catches. And so that was frustrating for fans as well.
Yeah, I don't think that's completely independent of the quarterback. I do think he has some work to do on touch throws, right? Like there was a throw to Cedric Wilson that like he 100% should catch, but it also doesn't need to be rifled in there like it's coming out of a howitzer cannon. You know, it's just a touch throw that you need to get out there. There was a couple throws to Alvin. You know, the thing with Alvin that I'm curious about is he was dealing with a hand injury during the week that we never really got a lot of information about. And when you see Alvin dropping passes like that, A, you wonder, hey, are these getting thrown a little too harder than they need to be in terms of, like, you just want to get him the ball, let him make an easy catch and go. But was that hand injury affecting him? I don't know. Either way, that's something that I think a young quarterback, especially when you're that fired up in your first start, you're just trying to get the ball there and maybe you're rifling it in a little more. So I think that's something he does need to work on. But no, I mean,
he had to be excited. He had to be amped up. His first NFL start, he looked like he was in command of everything. And so, yeah, he may have been putting a little extra on it just because, well, you know, it's his first NFL start.
Right. And, you know, the scrambling is tough because you want him to feel like, hey, I can extend plays, I can scramble. I do feel like at this point in his career, he relies on that a little bit too much. There was a couple plays that, yeah, he created something out of nothing. He got a first down, and that's something that he brings to this equation that Derek Carr really doesn't. But there were points where it felt like he got a little happy feet. There were times it's like, hey, the pocket's there. You just got to trust it, kind of move around in it, keep your eyes downfield and create something. And, you know, he did this in camp. He did this in the preseason. Sometimes I think he just kind of takes off a little bit too early, and you hurt your chances at making big plays downfield that way. It's something that I'm not going to criticize a rookie for, more so than just point out, because it's something that as a young quarterback in the NFL, you learn in real time how to do that. The interception targeting Rashid, you know, it's a good example of that's probably a throw he gets away with in college. Like, I don't think it was necessarily a terrible throw. Yes, he underthrew it a little bit. But, I mean, Zion McCollum goes up and makes a fantastic play on that ball, something that I don't think you probably see in college. And if he makes that throw 9 times out of 10, you might – if he makes that throw 10 times, you might complete that 7-8 times. It was that good of a play on the ball. But it's just the type of thing that, hey, you got to be a little bit more precise with that throw in the NFL than maybe you had to be in college. You know, there is a safety kind of crashing, so you can't just throw it straight downfield, but you probably lead him a little bit more downfield to the sideline, and that's a big catch in a moment where it was a 4-point game. You go down, you score there. Maybe that whole thing plays out a little bit differently. Instead, it's kind of a momentum shift. The Bucks get the turnover. They go down, score a touchdown. That game kind of felt over at that point. But that's the type of thing. That's why going with a rookie in a game you feel like we can't afford to lose is tough, because those are the types of things that you have to do. You have to learn those things. It's not going to be, hey, you put the rookie in there and he just naturally understands the speed of the game, how you need to operate in these pressure scenarios. You learn those things. You know, Derek Carr is an 11-year veteran, right?
Absolutely. And you kind of got the feel that, here's a guy who's been working as the third-string quarterback. He hasn't had a lot of time with the first-string receivers, and you felt like maybe the timing was just a little off. Some of them were a little underthrown where he could have led the receivers more or whatever, but he had great success with a guy like Bub Means, because maybe he's thrown Bub Means more balls, huh?
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's not a coincidence. Those two feel very comfortable, you know, throwing to each other. I would bet that Bub has probably caught more passes from Spencer Rattler during camp, during practice, than anybody else on this Saints roster. And you know, you look for silver linings, right? Like in a game like that, you can't just be completely negative. You do want to try to pull out the things that went well. And I thought Bub, you know, he looked like an NFL receiver in that game. He had one target in week one. He hadn't really been heard from since. But he didn't look like a guy who was overwhelmed. He looked like a guy who's physically capable of playing at the NFL level. He's built, he's big, and he was making some contested catches. So, you know, I would be expecting, if you're looking for a fantasy waiver wire ad, he's going to be a popular guy, because you watch just the connection they have and the comfortability of Spencer throwing him the ball in big moments, like two first down conversions, a touchdown. He had another first down conversion on a second down, all kind of tight window. Close area throws. I was impressed with Bub.
Yeah, and I think that you nailed it there. They've been playing catch all season with each other because, well, they're, you know, at the bottom of the barrel. So now they're in prime time, and they're showing that familiarity is valuable. All right, we're talking with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak here on WWL. Speaking of Bub.
Rattler to throw, looking, now throws to the end zone, and that is going to be caught, and that is Bub Means, the rookie on the far side, gets his first touchdown as he beats Tyreek Thunderbird from Appalachian State. Good play action, waited, bang.
Bang, indeed.
It's your football. It's your first touchdown.
Yeah, it was his first, and hopefully not his last. When we come back, are we sure that Rattler's getting the start Thursday night against the Broncos? We'll ask Jeff Nowak that. And is Jeff surprised that the Saints are favored in this game, according to the odds makers? We'll find out coming up next. We do have a traffic note we got to pass along very quickly, though. Just got a text. I was wondering, I was seeing some trouble on the Crescent City Connection heading from the East Bank to the West Bank, and we just got a text from a listener who said there's an 18-wheeler laying on its side on the West Bank Expressway, heading toward the West Bank Expressway from the Pontchartrain Expressway. So if you're heading from downtown New Orleans to the West Bank, we got an overturned truck on the Crescent City Connection. Traffic is starting to back up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Quickly.
Rattler will be out of the shotgun, has two receivers to the top, two to the bottom as he takes the snap. Looks, has plenty of time, now rolls to his right, and he'll bring it down. 40, 45, picks up the first down. Rattler still on his feet, and the crowd is on their feet as Spencer Rattler does it with his feet. First down for New Orleans.
One of the highlights from a game that was very challenging for Saints fans, and I'm sure for members of the team, and I know for Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak to watch. Jeff, do we know that Spencer Rattler will be the starter Thursday night when Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos come to town? Because when they announced he was starting this game, they said it was because he fit best, they thought, in this game against the Buccaneers. Do we have any official word yet?
Yeah, I mean, barring, you know, a recovery for Derek Carr that is unexpected, right? Like, he is expected to miss two games. I wouldn't be surprised if that maybe had been one game if they played on Sunday. In a short week, it's tough to know, hey, how much different is it really going to be 3 days removed? But Dennis Allen was asked after the game if his plan was to stick with Spencer Rattler. He said yes. So I would expect that you would. I think it's going to be difficult enough to come up with a plan for this game regardless, on such a short week, that it would probably be a lot more difficult to then change midstream and say, actually, we're going to go with Jake now. Let's try to make a plan around what he does well. I think the goal would be, hey, we figured some things out in this game. We can build on that and go forward and maybe add some wrinkles to have some more answers, because I think that was the issue. I think you had some answers early on. The Bucs figured out what you were doing, and then you didn't have answers for what they were doing in the second half. Well, now you know how teams are going to react and how Spencer's going to react to the teams changing their plan on him. So I think that's what you're going to do. But, yeah, I expect Spencer to get another shot at it.
Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, are you surprised that the odds makers have the Saints, a 1.5-point favorite, heading into this Thursday night game after what we saw Sunday in the Superdome?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how this line moves throughout the week. I would imagine a lot of money ends up going in on Sean Payton and the Broncos, and just because, hey, this kind of what happened in this game is going to kind of get talked about and talked about and talked about, and the confidence level is going to wane. But I think they're 1.5 right now. I think they started at 3, and it's gone down to 1.5 already. And typically, home field is worth 3 points on the line. So when you look at a team that's a 1.5 favorite at home, they're really kind of looked at as the underdog in that game. But no, I mean, I think the Saints should feel confident in this game. I don't think the Broncos are particularly good either. You're talking about a rookie quarterback coming in and Bo Nix. They got kind of taken to task by the Chargers this week. So, you know, I think this is the Saints need to get right in this game, and it's a matchup that they should feel like they can handle, at least on offense. Now, defensively for the Broncos, they're a problem. But I don't think you're going to see 600 yards of offense from Denver in this game. I hope. If you do, then that's a problem. But no, I like the Saints' chances in this game, and they just need to kind of just get their feet on the ground and play football. You know, it's been frustrating to watch, but no, if they can turn this around and win a game and get back to 3-4 with a 10-day break and then kind of figure things out from there, I like it. I think you're okay. If you can't, then it's a problem. So I don't know whether they should be favored or not, but I do know they have to win.
Yeah, we're getting into that real must-win territory. Jeff, thank you so much. We look forward to hearing you on the sidelines Thursday night and reading everything that you produce for us at WWL.com. Thanks for joining us here on WWL.
For sure, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Nowak here on WWL. Yeah, man, if they can get some fundamentals solved, you know, tackling and catching, I think the Saints have a great chance of winning this game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.